Is it possible that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Christ in Matthew 24 actually happened during the AD 70 attack on Jerusalem? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Last time we were together, we talked about the fact that many people believe that the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70 by the Romans was a fulfillment of what Christ was referring to when he talked about the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24. And we talked about the fact that I didn't think it fit because of a number of problems. One is that he who inaugurates the covenant will break the covenant by causing the sacrifices to stop. Now, unless we view the Roman armies as he in the Daniel passage, the view tends to fall apart. The other problem is that there was no discernible abomination of desolation occurring during the Roman destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, as Christ had specifically referenced in Matthew 24. There would have been no reason for Christ to point out the abomination of desolation that had occurred in the past and as something that would occur again unless it was in fact going to occur again at some point in the future. Now, realizing that the 70 AD point was ahead of Christ in the future, there is still no reference to any kind of abomination of desolation that some believe took place there. It's very clear cut and I believe undeniable that Jesus speaks of this event as something that will happen, an event that I believe he thinks or thought people would certainly notice. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We are continuing in our series that I've called Between Weeks, because in it we are going to be focusing, and we have been focusing, on the time that is what many of us like to call the gap. The gap between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th. Now, to maintain a literal understanding of the text of Daniel or of Scripture in general, we've got to understand that Gabriel, here in chapter 9 of Daniel, is referring to an event that was way in the future. Someone would eventually arrive on the scene, and he would come to the leaders of Israel, and he would do his very best to broker what turns out to be a 7-year covenantal agreement with them and the surrounding nations. Now, however, the unfortunate part here is that, well, there's a number of unfortunate things. Number one is that they'll be essentially making a deal with the devil through the Antichrist. And then secondly, the 7 years is cut short, or the 7-year agreement and promise of peace is cut short by 3.5 years, because 3.5 years into the covenant, this same individual who brokers the original agreement would break the covenant and would do so by committing a similar act of desolation as the one Antiochus Epiphanes perpetrated just a few centuries before Christ walked this earth in 168 BC. Now, as Christ relates this desolation to his listeners, he's stating that this type of event would occur at the midway point of the same 7-year period that Gabriel references in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. That final week is a 7-year period. And this would mark the beginning of, quote, the great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. That's Matthew 24, 21. It's difficult to believe that Jesus was exaggerating here by making an overstatement regarding the type of tribulation that this world would undergo and would experience. Jesus obviously understood that the entire world would suffer at the hands of this one individual, and the amount and character of the tribulation foisted upon the world by this person would be such that the world has never seen and would never see again. These are very strong words, and their meaning is really undeniable. Certainly the world has suffered tribulations in the past. Every time a war happens, there's tribulation. There have been many natural disasters which have caused tribulation. But there have been two world wars, and we are constantly hearing about the threats of another one, with tensions rising and falling throughout the world on a near daily basis. Yet even with these wars, we're apparently, you know, we have apparently not witnessed the type of tribulation that Jesus is referring to here in Matthew 24. That is still to come. And the horror that will be visited upon this earth during that time is extremely difficult for us to imagine. The most interesting reference point in Daniel 9:27 is the very last phrase where Gabriel says that the one who puts the covenant into effect with Israel and breaks it 3.5 years into the covenant is referred to as the desolator. Quote, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Unquote. Now this desolator obviously cannot be referring to Jesus. He is not in any way the desolator. The desolator is the one who makes the covenant with Israel only to shatter this same covenant by setting himself up as God in the temple itself to shock the Jewish world. The sense here is that the abomination of this individual will ultimately turn God's temple into an idol worship house. The act of this person setting himself up as God inside the temple of God spreads through the entire temple as a cancer, leaving no part of the temple clean or untouched by his vile presence and resultant desolation. You know, we need only refer to Daniel 12 to determine that this same abomination occurs 1290 days or 43 months prior to the return of Christ. If we go from the midway point of the Great Tribulation, 1290 days after that, we arrive just inside the Millennial Kingdom. And from that time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there will be 1290 days. So says Daniel 12:11. Now we can see in this passage that I just quoted that the same abomination is referenced. And from that point forward, there are 1290 days, 30 days after Jesus returns to end the Great Tribulation. This is obviously referring to the second coming and not the rapture of the church, since Christ said that no one would know the day nor the hour of his coming. He must be referring in Matthew 24:36 to the rapture. The rapture is also not the second coming, because during the rapture, Christ really doesn't come all the way to earth. He steps from the throne out of the third heaven and meets his bride. And his bride is coming up to meet him. He is not coming to the earth. This then cannot be the second coming. The second coming is not divided into part A and part B, as some have taught years ago. It is a single event. The second coming is a single event. And that event and the rapture have nothing to do with one another. The rapture has nothing to do with the second coming. The first advent occurred roughly a little over 2,000 years ago, and the second coming takes place when Jesus physically returns to earth at the end of this age. The rapture is not the second coming. It is an event which simply calls the church home to heaven, as a gentleman would stand when a lady came into the room, when chivalry existed, by the way. So does Christ rise to meet his bride as she's ushered up to him. And many believe that Jewish weddings, the Old Testament, the orthodoxy surrounding the Jewish wedding is a great parallel to the rapture itself. But there is more that we could discuss about the rapture, which is not for this show or this particular series. So we may touch on it at some point in the future, and you can certainly do your own research. Now, the 70th week holds a mystery, but it is not an indiscernible mystery. Gabriel tells Daniel exactly what's going to occur. When we compare the ninth chapter of Daniel with other portions of Daniel and elsewhere in God's word, we gain a greater understanding of just what Gabriel is referring to as he explains the prophecy. That the 70th week comes after the events described in verse 26 is clear. What should also be clear by now is the fact that the events described in verse 26 were not given a specific period of time by Gabriel. They are, in essence, the in-between time. They unfolded as was planned, but unlike the first two periods of time, the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks, the events in verse 26 had no such time period attached to them. The start of the last 7 years in verse 27 of Daniel 9, the last week, that starting point was essentially left open-ended by Gabriel. He did not tell Daniel when, in time, it would start. He only told him how that start would be recognized, by what particular event. And it was something that Daniel was not given permission to know by God. God felt no compunction to share it with either Daniel or with us later on. To do so would have meant to share it with Satan as well. Now, we've shown that the individual in question in Daniel 9, specifically verses 24 through 27, both people cannot be Jesus. Both people cannot be Jesus. The prince of the people who is to come cannot be Jesus. Nor can it be the Roman armies who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. We have also shown, I believe, that in all likelihood, the person being referred to here is the Antichrist. It is he who enters into a strong covenant with Israel, which is slated to be for 7 years, the final 7 years of Gentile human history of dominance of Israel. It's the same individual who, at some point in the middle of those 7 years, breaks the covenant. 3.5 years later, he breaks it by doing something that is very similar to what Antiochus Epiphanes did in 168 BC. Historical fact, it's going to repeat itself. The Antichrist will set himself up as God in the midst of the future temple, which Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the result of that will be defilement that causes the renewed sacrifices to cease. We've also learned that Christ stated that from the midway point until he returns at the end of the tribulation, the terrible times that will exist on this earth will exist because of the Antichrist and the fact that God is pouring out his own wrath through the Antichrist. And we're going to continue, of course. We've got more to discuss. We're going to be talking about more about the 70th week and the last week of Gentile dominance over Israel and Jerusalem forever, and how that 70th week leads us right up to the time that Jesus physically returns. And it will be an amazing time. It will be an absolute amazing time. You know, there are a lot of people who do not believe that Jesus is going to come back physically. They don't think it's going to happen. Yet, what's really amazing is how we read about that in Acts chapter 1. Starting with verse 9, it says, "And after he, Jesus, had said these things, he would lift it up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven.'" And Jesus himself said that. "Every eye will see him. The sky will split. And as thunder goes from the east to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." He's coming back. We need to prepare our hearts. I thank you for joining me today, and until we meet next time, I pray that the Lord will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.